Podcasting 2.0 for March 5th, 2021, episode 27, Certifying the Universe. Oh, yeah. It's that time once again when Friday feels like a Saturday. There is nothing but goodness Fridays for me. Why? Because it's time once again for the free open source board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas, and in Alabama, ladies, he's the OG dev named Dave, my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
You really know how to sell it. It's an open source board meeting.
Yeah, well, it is.
But it's free.
Exactly. It's free and open source.
Yeah.
You gotta love it.
Who wouldn't want to attend that?
Yeah, free. Oh, it's like Clubhouse for podcasting. Only you don't get to talk.
No stage for you.
Oh, man. You know, I was talking to my sister, Willow.
In Italy.
Yeah, right. She lives in Florence, and she is currently doing her master's for cyber psychology.
Cyber psychology?
She's a real degree. So, of course, it includes actual psychology, and so she's learning a lot of stuff, and it does also include some things about DNA, so we were chatting about vaccines and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And boy, if I only remember what I was coming back to.
Yeah, some about cyber psychology.
Yeah. Shoot, man, I don't remember. I had a whole wrap in my head. It just flew out the window.
Okay, well,
It'll come back.
I'm currently drinking out of my gift. Which you doxed me for.
Yeah.
This is the... I just posted a picture of it to the Mastodon. It is the... not the regular pod friend mug, but the psycho pod friend mug.
I just saw that picture. We'll have to put it in the show notes. It's hilarious.
This is not pod friend. This is your very best pod friend.
This is pod friend on drugs, baby.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
What that is.
He really, really wants to be your best friend.
Yeah, I'll have Dreb.
As a matter of fact, he will not take no for an answer.
I'll have Dreb put it in. Well, I'm sure he's hearing us now. He'll put it in the chapter image. Oh my goodness!
My favorite part of this image is that Psycho Pod Friend's tongue is upside down. Which I didn't notice until last night.
Oh yeah, it's completely psycho. I didn't know that he was going to send you the mug with that image on it. Man, now I want one of those. That's a collector's item. That thing is fantastic.
Archive quality. This is archive quality right here. There's this book. What is it? Stephen King's Dark Tower series. There's this part in that book where one of the main characters says that he was looking at this children's book with a train on the cover, and the train is like, it's like this kid's train. It has a face on it, you know?
Yes.
And so like a Thomas the Tank Engine type thing.
Bodie McBoat face. Yeah.
Yeah. Bodie McBoat. And then there's kids like hanging out of the railway cars, like having fun. They look like they're, you know, having a great time. And he said, the longer he looked at it, he's like, the more I looked at it, the more I realized that they weren't having fun. They were actually terrified, and the train was a psycho. And it's like, that's what and they were screaming for help, wanting to jump out. So like, that's my thing with the mug.
Oh,
the longer
beautiful.
You look at it, the more psycho it gets.
It was beautiful. Now, I remember what I was talking about with Willow about. Thanks for covering.
Right. Yep.
About Clubhouse and how what she believes is taking place. And actually, we were talking more about how cancel culture fits into cyber addiction, which she may even write her thesis about.
Ooh, I want to read that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, she wants to get back to me after she's done with her master's, she's near the end, so I was going to interview her. But we were talking about how difficult conversation is for people when they're not in a control, when they can't control the conversation. She says, look, social media, text messaging, all this stuff, you control the conversation. You don't have to answer right away. You have time to think. There's this mirroring that you can do by just sending an emoji that will automatically make someone feel happy, putting context in it. But she said, there's so much that you just don't have with text. And she said, face mask, another huge problem because you really can't read someone's emotion. You're missing 70% of the information of communication between human beings. And Clubhouse is, in effect, not a podcasting experience. It is a social media experience with the added dimension that we subconsciously have been missing, namely that of speech and speech inflection. So it's a much richer experience, and people are just craving this. And also to show off their skills of immediate reactionary conversation. So not something you get to think about before you reply to the tweet or the text message, but you have, it's like debating skills, you know, stuff we used to learn at school is now kind of, I think that's maybe people don't do that anymore.
I think kids are terrified of kids have grown up now. I see it with my own kids. They grew up with text messaging. And so they've always had this ability to have a slow, methodical conversation where they have plenty of time to think.
Exactly.
Man, when you throw a young person into an actual conversation, like put them on a phone call or in person.
Oh, they hate it. They
flip out.
They freeze. Yeah.
Because they're afraid they're going to make a mistake and look like an idiot.
Or worse, they're so over-socialized, they're afraid they're going to make a mistake. While they did not intend to, will hurt the other person's feelings.
Oh, yes. Yes. True. Yeah. Yeah. Which is probably, you know, which actually may be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because completely. If they're expecting to accidentally hurt the other person's feelings, the other person is probably expecting you to hurt their feelings.
Yep.
At the same time, because they have that same fear in reverse.
Yeah. It's so, well, so sick. It's so sick.
Willow can just listen to this show. I mean, I think we just pretty much cracked that egg.
Well, then I'll just, on the cancel culture thing, it's really interesting. This was my idea, but she said, oh my God, this fits so perfectly in what I'm, you know, what I'm studying right now, because there's multiple kinds of addiction. One is compulsive. You know, there's many different versions of this online. But it has gotten to a point where people are afraid to speak their mind because if they offend, they will get canceled. And what happens is their drug goes away. This is, you know, this social media in particular, but also just text messaging with friends. It is drugs. I mean, this has been proven. It triggers the same stuff as cocaine in your brain.
Yeah.
And so people are so afraid of losing that they are very careful. Because they're really addicts.
That's
what Willow said. She went, yes, yes, my thesis.
That is genius, actually.
I wasn't
expecting to get into this fast, but I did have some clips on that.
Oh, okay.
Let's see what it. I mean, you want to do some free speech stuff? Like,
yeah, yeah, go, yeah, of course. Hey, it's a board meeting. You have the floor. You have the speaking stick.
I want to take a point of personal privilege.
Yes.
In order to
please do.
Play Disinformation 1 algorithms.
And what that means in really simple terms is people are getting less information from person-to-person interactions, organic interactions, and they're getting more information kind of filtered through algorithms, through these social media platforms. And what we know about that is these algorithms are known to make people more polarized, and they're known to make people more prone to believing conspiracy theories.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like some good drugs to me, baby.
It's the algorithms, you know, it's that idea. And so like, there's this notion within podcasting you hear all the time about discoverability, that term.
Yeah.
And I used to think that I was in that mindset too, that the discoverability was a problem. Mm-mm. That had to be solved, but I don't think it is anymore. I mean, sure, you want to be able to find things when you go looking for it, but the idea that you're going to somehow use an algorithm to surface podcasts that you wouldn't otherwise be able to find, I think is always going to, just like algos, all the algos are ultimately going to lead you to that end,
mm-hmm.
which is you're being manipulated in some way by the algorithm.
Totally.
And so, you know, you have, I was reading Ben Thompson's piece on Clubhouse. And he says, let's see, the key for Clubhouse will be honing its algorithms so that every time a listener opens the app, they're presented with a conversation that's interesting to them. This is the other area where podcasts miss the mark. It is amazing to have so much choice, but all too often that choice is paralyzing. Sometimes, a lot of times, users just want to scroll their Twitter feed instead of reading a long blog post, or click through the stories or swipe TikToks, and Clubhouse is poised to provide the same, quote, mindless escapism for background audio. I think that would be very damaging to the world of podcasting to have a system like that.
Of course. And that's, you know, besides the obvious reasons of hosting companies not enabling enough space to do video for many different reasons, but cost. YouTube is not podcasting. YouTube is an algorithm that is continuously showing you things that you should be watching next, and people go down the rabbit hole and just follow that trail. Oh, click on this, click on that. And it's drugs. It's some of it's useful, no doubt. But it's all kind of entertainment. It's not, it's harmful. And you see this with the Mastodon. You know, there are multiple times per day, usually in the evening, where I'll check it out. I'm like, oh crap, there's nothing new. Yeah. Nothing. There's not a single new post. And then I also think, oh, that's refreshing.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm up to speed. I know what I'm okay, good. Now I can go do something else. It's a very nice feeling. And it's really, well, since we're on this trip anyway, Wikipedia co-founder Larry Sanger.
I've never heard that name.
No, before. Neither did I. But I guess I think he left 20 years ago. I mean, he didn't like the way it was going. He was more of a decentralized guy. And of course he saw how it was, you know, what was taking place. And now it's all locked down. You got to have the secret handshake and all kinds of weird stuff. So listen to this. Sanger, who parted ways with Wikipedia almost two decades ago over the project's direction, is now working on developing technical standards that could strip power over social media from giant companies and give users more control over the content they produce and see. Concerns over the power of social media platforms have emerged across the political spectrum in recent years. So blah, 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 blah. Quote, what needs to exist is a system that just makes it really easy for the average user to push out their social media content from a place that they own, like a blog, and then make it available on all these different platforms so it doesn't matter which platform you use, Sanger told The Times on a phone call. So this places the locus of control back in the hands of the average person, the end user. If only there were a protocol,
format.
If only there was something that was easy to remember, like three letters, RSS.
It's everything old is new again.
But listen to this. What he envisions, this Captain Obvious of the future, what he envisions is a tool such as a browser plugin that would aggregate content from all the accounts the user follows across the myriad of platforms. Oh, my God!
That is genius.
That penny dropped, ladies and gentlemen.
That is pure genius.
The trick is, the microblogging systems, never heard that word before. I hope he coined it, would have a standardized protocol that would allow a single plugin to translate the content into the various formats suitable for different social media platforms.
How much VC money is he getting for this? Because
that's a good question.
So just every 20 years, just reinvent RSS and slap some VC money on it and you're good.
And this is what I've come to realize, that when you truly have something decentralized, it has certain properties and how it behaves. Bitcoin is the best example. To a degree, it's self-healing. You know, it's a community. They make things go or they don't make things go. And I think after 10, 11 years, it's time to say that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Podcasting, you know, now 16, 17, or as some would say, 21 years.
35
years has displayed similar properties, and you're seeing these efforts to capture everything and they're just not happening. And gosh, I was listening to Podland talking to some new hosting company who has invented text speech to text. Oh my God, it's going to be great. And I appreciate Critland. He said, so are you going to integrate with the podcasting 2.0 with the podcast index namespace? And the guy's answer is so I should have clipped it, actually. It's classic. Like, well, we believe in open, but this is really an end-to-end experience. And like, oh my God, he's reinventing transcripts and searching those. Like, wow. And he just raised a bunch of money for it.
Well,
by the way, a quick programming note to our Buzzsprout friends. The Podland podcast, James and Sam, they started off with, I think, a geo-targeted automatic insertion. You know, so it's kind of like, hey, here we are in the United States with our special message. You know, and they said it. We're just testing this out. The problem is that threw the transcript out of sync.
Oh, okay.
And I remember this being discussed on the Mastodon. So it was a full 30 seconds out of sync throughout the, it was an offset. So for Buzzsprout, I would say possibly if someone's using your dynamic insertion tool, maybe you rewrite the SRT file.
I bet that's a bug because I think Tom said that was the intent.
Okay. All right. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's got to be a bug. Once again,
I've broken it.
That's yeah. But by the way, on that note, the guys on the Mastodon, I just wanted to say this, are like expert ninja level bug reporters.
Oh yeah,
and you notice that?
Yeah, and they know how to report too.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's the like. Phone Boy, Andy Lehman, Alex Gates, John Spurlock, all those guys, like they notice a bug and they expertly explain it and give you exactly what you need. And they don't. But here's the most critical part of good bug reporting is you follow up. You give the developer enough time to a reasonable amount of time to fix it.
Right.
And then you circle back around and say, hey, just letting you know this is still a problem because programmers get busy and everybody gets busy and you forget about it, especially on a medium like Mastodon where things can roll off. And so they come back around. They're like, hey, just a heads up, man, that is so freaking valuable. And it's not bothersome. It's not like you're bothering me or anybody else when you do that. It's super helpful.
It's interesting because I'm the intermediary with Tina, who has really committed herself to Podfriend. I said, please just pick one. And please, I need your help. You know, I need to know if this shit is working for you. Because Tina, she's incredibly smart, is great with marketing. One thing we know, if she says that she doesn't understand why something exists, it'll be very successful. Case in point, ATMs. Why would anyone want to use a machine to get money? Cell phones. Why would you want to have a phone in your pocket? And this is, we know now. It's like, if she really thinks it's questionable, then we got to pay attention to it. So she finds bugs and things that I haven't found, and she'll say, okay, well, this thing, the display is still only moving up halfway and it obfuscates this, and they'll tell Martin, but then she'll appear in front of me 6 hours later like, this display thing is still broken. I'm like, yeah. so I delay it. I'm like, it'll be a couple days, I'll follow up in a few days. But yeah, it's
I'm not a believer in that whole idea of like, there's some people that are real Nazi about, you have to format it this way where it's like, here's what I expected to happen. Here's what did happen. Here's blah, blah, blah. That is completely unnecessary.
If you speak the same language and I can speak most of the language of what we're developing, although I try not to make guesses.
One thing that irritates me about that format is that here's what here's what did happen and here's what I expect. Like you're describing the same thing twice.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
90% of the time in the what I expected to happen thing, I end up just saying, it's like, what's the point? It's here's what I did. Here's what I expected to happen. Here's what did happen. when I say what I did, when I get to the, here's what I expected to happen, I just say, I expected it to work. Yeah. I expected it not to do what it did. I mean, like, I'm not sure what else to tell you here. I don't know.
Just to get back to where we were with decentralization, this renewed discovery of RSS, you know, which if we had to go back and count all the RSS's dead articles, you know, we get a dollar for each one, we'd be pretty rich. In combination with the deplatforming and cancel culture, the world is moving away from these centralized systems. And, you know, I'm a broken record on this, but once it's really just education. And once people understand that Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Instagram, that is not the internet. And when they are rejecting your content or it's not to your liking, it just consider it a bug, route around it, you know, and boom, there's the Mastodon, the most valuable website I go to every single day. You know, no one controls that but us. You know, we collectively control what goes on there and we don't do anything and it seems to work out just fine and there's no algorithm. So people are going to start searching for these alternatives. And your blog post, which got some real good traction about the value for value model in podcasting, you explained it expertly. There has to be an alternative. You're a very good writer, Dave Jones. I'll say it again.
Oh, thanks.
Damn you. Are you like a great lover too? Because that's really going to piss me off. You got everything. You got the whole package.
No, I'm really bad at that. I'm really bad at that part. I think the most important thing in that blog post, I think maybe was that, and I'm not, it wasn't explicitly stated, was that there's a marriage between the sort of mission one and mission two. They're not just two
right,
goals.
Exactly. That, you know, exactly. They're connected.
They are.
They're connected.
Yeah. Because you can't, the goal overall is freedom, period. And freedom and ownership of your content. And in order to have true freedom and ownership of your content, you have to have a way to be independently rewarded for it and independently an independent owner of the infrastructure that delivers it.
Yes. Like
you can't have that, you know, you're never going to get to the end goal unless you have both of those things tied together. You're only halfway there if you just do one of them.
Exactly.
But I think the advertising part is really not, I mean, yeah, you know, I tried to make the point that the advertising model is already bad. It's already dominant. Like, this is what I mean is, like, there's so many ads in podcasts now.
Well, also, if I can just interject, because I'm not anti-advertising. In fact, if there were no advertising, I'd be very sad. I wouldn't know what to get, even if I didn't need it. I mean, that's a part of modern life, and I enjoy that. But the two aren't mutually exclusive. In essence, advertise on a complete 100% value for value podcast, the No Agenda Show. We advertise shit all the time, but it's because we mean it. You know, I don't get paid for talking about lavender blossoms or, you know, some winery or whatever. Is that advertising? Yeah, in a way it is. Of course, we get free product, you know, but we just say it like, oh, this is great. And if it's a shit product, we'll say, well, we won't talk about it. And people send in notes and they advertise something that they're doing. It's a form of advertising, but it's not a programmatic. It's very direct. You know, it's like the actual producer of the product is telling me about it and I'm telling the actual consumer. There's no exchange, auction, split second determining of what fits best, scanning of your profile. There's a whole machine that goes on in the background just to present you with an ad.
See, and that's what happens when you get into what we were talking about just a minute ago with the algos and the, because that's what the point is. The point of those algorithms is not to, okay, yes, part of it is to give you a quote unquote better experience. But the large majority of that is to drive your attention towards an advertiser.
Exactly.
You know, that's
or drive you away from a potential advertiser that you don't want to piss off. I think that's also in play.
True.
Let's move this type of user over here so that person could never accidentally comment on this thread where we have this ad running. I'm sure that's in there. It's got to be. I've run these kinds of companies.
Well, you know, and what I was trying to say in this post was that we're not even at $1 billion yet.
No.
And so we're not even at a billion, and the advertising dominant model, the only option it has in order to get more revenue out of this thing is to put more ads in.
Right.
So let's just say, let's take the upper end of that. Let's say that you have that number of 2.8 million podcasts out there, which is the highest number I've seen. Let's just say that is legit. Okay. I mean, the number of podcasts that actually have ads in it is nowhere near that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking to, I don't know how many of their total podcasts have ads in it, but it's probably, you know, 10% of that or less.
Yeah.
So you're going to take 10% of the total market and cram more ads in it because those are the only podcasts that actually have enough audience.
Well,
so there's no choice. You're going to get more ads in the same amount of podcasts.
And the next issue is, just in general, for companies trying to capture these audiences and contain them inside a wall, the opposite of freedom, where they determine what your choice is, Spotify, and I should look up the name of that other hosting company. They're actually going to have a hard time because the biggest podcasts are big because they're available universally.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people. Then I always noticed this. We had a problem with noagendashow.net, our main website. It's a beautiful website, and there was some confusion about it, something not updating. And actually, Tim, he's been working on community chapters, community across the board stuff for podcasting 2.0. I mean, he's a brilliant guy. And so there's a miscommunication. I think I missed an email about how to log in to fix something. Anyway, it's bad today.
You're just losing it.
I am.
B12?
I was building up to this. I took the B12.
Huh.
What was that? No. What the fuck was I answering?
We're talking about cramming more ads into the same amount of podcast space. And you said, and you started talking about walled gardens. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. I've got to do something about this. so what I learned is because it wasn't updating for 5 days, the most recent episode hadn't gone up. A lot of people listen to the show right there on the website. A lot. Of a lot. Now, go look at noagendasocial.com. You see how many people were stressed out by it. That's weird. Look at the website. It's like, yes, it updates automatically, you know, but yeah. And I have to say, Tina is also a web listener. She just sees a link, clicks on something, and whether it's she doesn't use a YouTube app, she'll do a YouTube, but she's doing podcasts now. And I think what she likes the most is the organizational part.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't really have experience with podcast apps. It's always surprising to me.
Yeah, I never listen to anything on the web, really, unless I'm trying to get a clip, you know?
Yeah.
That just feels wrong to sit there and like search through a website and find an audio file and play it from the site.
I saw emails from people who said, oh my God, are you okay? Did you not have, you couldn't do a show during the snowvid in Texas?
Oh no.
Yeah. They completely missed it because it hadn't updated on the website.
Oh, that's so weird.
Well, yeah, this is stuff that you don't think about, but you only learn when it happens. Do you want anything in these two other disinformation clips?
Let's play it out. I think, because I may need to make a larger point. Go ahead and play two.
Basically, the underlying system that Trump used, posting things that were false, posting things that make people either angry or upset to make them engage with the content, all of that is basically still happening. The system's still in place, just waiting to be used by other people. Here's Joan Donovan, a disinformation researcher I talked to from Harvard University.
We are in serious trouble. Disinformation has become an industry, which means the financial incentives and the political gains are now aligned, and we will see more of this.
See more of this unless we do what? What's the path out of this?
Freedom!
So, I disagree with her. I disagree with her premise that, like, you know, the monetary, the financial gain and the political gain are aligned.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, of course.
Like, what? Yeah, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's always been the case. So what do you think is the answer to this? He said, okay, so how do we get out of this? Well, by the way, which was funny, he said, the stuff that Trump used, the disinformation tactics that he used in social media, they're still there, and the algorithms are still in place, waiting for the next
evil dictator to jump in. Hitler.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about waiting? It's already being used.
So, okay.
Like they're sitting there idle, you know, not doing anything.
Right. So the question is, what dipshit answer will come? Is that what clip three is?
Yeah, I already have listened to clip three,
right?
And so
right.
I know.
So how pose the question. Wait, hold on a second. Let me now. Right. This is now a challenge. I got to listen to two again.
Basically, the underlying system that Trump used, posting things that were false, posting things that make people either angry or upset to make them engage with the content, all of that is basically still happening. The system's still in place, just waiting to be used by other people. Here's Joan Donovan, a disinformation researcher I talked to from Harvard University.
We are in serious trouble. Disinformation has become an industry, which means the financial incentives and the political gains are now aligned, and we will see more of this.
See more of this unless we do what? What's the path out of this?
Okay. Well, I'm sure we need much tighter moderation, and we need anonymity to be removed. And is that a good start?
You getting there, but it's even worse than that.
I got to do the reveal. Here we go.
I don't want to be too bleak, Ari, but we're probably talking about something that's a generation or two from being resolved, according to people I talked to over the last couple weeks. Whitney Phillips, a Syracuse researcher who just released a book on all this stuff, told me it might take 50 years to resolve this. Basically, she says a redesign of the entire internet is the solution. Information just spreads too easily right now, even if it's untrue or hateful.
You have to rebuild the entire internet.
Oh my goodness. And she works at Syracuse. If your kids go there, pull them out. Wow.
That's the only way to fix it. You got to rebuild the entire internet.
Information flows too freely. Wow. It does. Wow. That is the essence of the internet. Information wants to be free. There are no secrets, only information you don't yet have. Are you kidding me? That's the world. Redesign the internet. Yeah, one direction only. That's redesign what she means.
Redesign the internet is code for rebuild, like come up with RSS all over again.
Yeah, good luck with that. Oh.
Oh, but I did get a good ISO out of it. ISO 1.
Oh, hold on a second.
We are in serious trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, we ma'am. Are. Yes, ma'am.
Wow. We're in serious trouble.
Well, not at Podcasting 2.0, we're not in serious trouble.
No, we're in serious good spirits over here.
Just tacking on to your post, which is titled Opening Up the Value of Podcasting. It's in the show notes. Okay. You can find it at blog.podcastindex.org. I was listening to a journalist's interpretation of the value for value, and the journalist thought it was an unfair system. And we actually touched on this in the last episode, that shorter shows would get shortchanged. And I thought to myself, well, oh, okay. So we need to re-explain the value for value model and the way it will be integrated. And I think the Breeze podcast app that's coming, we've seen some screenshots and some stuff. They've got the boost amount and the per minute streaming sats displayed right on the front. And the whole idea is that you can It's analogous to in Bitcoin, people talk about time value preference. Like how high do you value your time versus what you expect on a return if you just leave, if you put your, turn your fee, your cuck bucks into Bitcoin. But in a way, it's kind of the same, a bit in reverse. It's like if you really, really enjoy the content, you are going to gravitate automatically towards giving more per minute or multiple boosts. And this is the value, the listener controls all of that feedback. It just isn't quite apparent yet in our one implementation on Sphinx. But I, as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, this is the one place we kind of do need an algorithm. And it would do multiple things in my mind. One is we need to show value for the old world. We need to have a toggle or show dollar amount or euro amount or whatever it is underneath the Satoshis. It's very hard for, you know, you've been in it for a while. It's like, yeah, around 50,000. So 2,000 Satoshis is a dollar, you know, but even that gets confusing for everybody. And I enjoy a wallet that'll show me both. One will be bigger than the other. So you can kind of see that too. I think a value calculator may be handy. Like you will be supporting this show if you listen to the whole thing with, you know, $10 or $3 or $1, whatever it is. And some things that can prompt you that say, hey, this is a much shorter show. You're at 10 Satoshis per minute. Is it time to reevaluate how much you value this show? Now, on the other hand, some shows that are 5 minutes are daily. Collectively, it's a much longer show. I mean, so I guess the point I'm trying to get to is, let's not get hung up on the time. You know, most apps are not even spitting out per minute because it makes more sense to aggregate it and send it in one payment. There's less network fees, etc. But the concept is really the time you spend, but how much you value that. And that I think is the point that is hard to get across, because people have so little value for the monetization systems in media today. It's like, well, an ad, I don't give a shit. It's like, it's just an annoyance that has to be there. You know, whereas I'm like, I listen to Tales from the Crypt. I love Marty Bent. And I remember when we were first starting out, like, what is this crazy nut job over there with TFTC? He's done some paywall podcast. Like, you know, I don't know. Whatever. But now I'm hooked. Woohoo. And
that's a good show.
But he starts off, it's between 3 and 5 minutes of ads. Now, I've heard most of them. They change, and there's some interesting services, but I do find myself bopping through, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that he has, and he's all over Sphinx Chat, so I wonder how many people listen, how that's doing for him.
I think that's pretty big.
The podcast has a huge audience. I just don't know how many are on Sphinx Chat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I get the impression that it's quite a few. Yeah, I mean, because you know you've always got lurkers that are not active.
But wait a minute. Can I not see who the members are if I tap on the tribe?
I mean, I don't know. Can you? If you can, that'd be neat.
Well, I know you can do it if you own the tribe. I don't know if you can do it. Let me see.
I don't think you can.
No.
So... You know, by the way, listening to Cridlin explain this, explain what value, the value tag and how it works is quite entertaining.
He doesn't believe Bitcoin is real, which is fine. But
yeah, if he says blockchain 6 times in a row, Satoshi Nakamoto appears.
By the way, IFPS is not blockchain. If you read a little bit further down the Wikipedia entry, you'll see what it means.
But I think that is a great idea, because it takes, there's a bunch of different UI concepts there that you could do to enhance this. Like, once you get those juices flowing, like what you were just saying, if you have a value in, like, you know, fiat that's sitting there next to an episode, it's like, well, if you listen to this episode, this is what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
But it's really not going to, I mean, you could listen to it for free. But it's more like here's how much you're going to donate to this thing. And it can be constantly changing.
Here's the value. We just say value. Here's the value you're sending back. Here's how much you value. Here's how much you valued this podcast so far. Here's another great one. Mm-hmm. What have I done so far for this podcast? You know, then why not have some statistics? Like, what have I boosted the most? I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can see, you know, for your own behavior and your own control over how you spend your time and your value. There's so many cool things that we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about this? As you're listening to the podcast, to that show, that episode, there's an up down arrow and you can just right there on the screen. It's like, oh, I need to, like, you're moving your slider up as the, you know, as you're like, man, this is such a good episode, and you can boost or you can just, you know, raise your per minute amount.
I think you and I have learned so over the decade or so that very often things that are set a certain way and this is how it's done, and in this case, paying for something, is always obfuscated, where many times if you reverse whatever has been hidden under the layers for decades and you pop it to the front, it's exciting.
Yeah.
So, you know, the value slider and all this stuff, which is hidden inside Sphinx Chat preferences, you know, I see it on the Breeze demo. I'm like, that makes so much sense. I can change it right there on the fly while I'm listening. You know? Yeah. And so anyway, also.
I missed Pod Station last night when I was testing the LN Pay stuff for Andy. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Pod Station. And I was sitting there listening. I'm watching my LN Pay wallet, and everything's moving. Sats are flowing. I'm like, cool. And I like just had this instinct to reach out and do a boost. And there's no boost. Yeah, I felt.
I know it's totally addictive. Speaking of, boosting. Oh my god, it feels so good when you do it.
It does. Boosting is the current. This is stupid because it's all about currency, but boosting quickly becomes the currency of this whole thing. It's a social feeding mechanism where, because like if you go on Sphinx, you could just drop into a tribe on there.
Yeah, boost
and what you'll see is a bunch of back and forth boosting.
Yeah.
A lot of tribes don't even have much actual chat going on in there. They just have this weird back and forth train of boostings, and everybody just kind of knows what it means.
I know. I was in Tales for the Crypt, and I boosted my 404 sats, and then about 30 minutes later, I get a notification: Marty has boosted 808 on No Agenda.
He doubled up on it.
Yeah, it's really. And by the way, you're tossing 50 cents around. You know, it's not much when it's a couple of bros hanging out, but when you got 1,000 people. Starts to get pretty interesting.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is the fiat would be nice to see, but I don't really even think about that. This goes back to
we have an education path. Remember, we've got people who don't even use podcast apps; they use the web browser. And when I hear someone struggling even with the name, it's Satoshis, not Satoshis.
Yeah,
because that's kind of a, you know, anglicization that's just wrong. and people don't understand the value. It would be handy to have that there. I think this has been proven in wallets for many years that people do want to have that quick conversion, at least within reach.
Yeah, but it goes back to Gresham's law, that idea that bad money drives out good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you would expect, and this is what you pick up from the sort of culture around Bitcoin and the news and that kind of thing, you would expect that people with Bitcoin are stingy. They don't want to spend it because they consider this to be good quality. This is quality money versus fiat paper money, which is like, you know, garbage.
Well, it's an extension of the entire value system. The fact that you have Bitcoin means you already, if you have it today before all this, you understand value. And what spending that today could mean 2 years from now. And I think most Bitcoiners are very philanthropic, actually.
See, that's what I'm getting at, because you have that whole idea that you don't want to spend your good quality money. But once you get into an ecosystem where everybody is spending in that currency, that Gresham's law falls away and it doesn't apply anymore.
Right.
And so now people are free to throw, they're throwing sats around all over the place because it's not, because they just don't want to trade them out for fiat. But as long as everything's in the system, like keeping it down home, cuz type of thing, like that's, things change, like the whole dynamic changes, I guess. And so I feel a whole lot freer to, you know, I don't even think about how much it costs, you know. I mean, yeah. Like if I see a 6-digit sat, I mean, of course I'm gonna be like, well, wait, let me think about this. But I mean, you know, somebody, I'll boost somebody 1,000 sats. That doesn't bother me. I mean, right. it should bother me. I don't even know how much I've spent on podcasts the last month, but I don't think about it anymore, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, I put $100 into my Voltage Podcaster node, which I just call Adam's podcast wallet. So it's incoming and outgoing. And I never look at it. I mean, I only look at what's come in just to see trends, etc. And I've spent, I don't know. I mean, I'm all the, if there's a podcast I can listen to on either PodStation or on Sphinx, I'll do it. You know, that's my thing. It's like, I listen to everything on Podfriend, but then, you know, shit, man, if I'm going to listen to Cridlin, then I'm going to listen in Sphinx. If I'm going to listen to Orange Pill, I'm going to listen in Sphinx, or actually PodStation, because I usually listen to that up in the studio. Just for a moment about Ellen Pay. So this is big news because Tim over there at Ellen Pay, he's now enabled key send receive on your Ellen Pay wallet, correct?
Yeah, we tested it last night.
So
it worked.
How does this work, and how does it work in regard to some extra parameters that need to be in the feed? Is that something that's in the database? How does all that work?
Oh yeah, we want to do some namespace stuff.
Well,
this is technically namespace stuff.
Okay,
and
then.
Now it's time for some hot namespace.
It's unattractive when you beg for it, Dave Jones.
What? I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to beg. Dame Jennifer. So the LN Pay has inbound key send, but it needs a route.
A routing parameter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the parameter is just a key value pair, and it's something that goes into the Lightning transaction. And so the way Tim's is, it's got the key is 696969, and then the value is the wallet address. And so you put that into the new custom key and custom value parameters that go in the value recipient tag. And that can act as a routing hint that will let the receiving end know how to get to that if they're using something like Tim is, which are like a virtual wallet system.
So we're pulling that out of the index then?
Yeah, what? I put that into the index the other day. It was not in there. I had written up the spec before I'd implemented it in the index.
Okay.
But okay. Now it is in there. So that's what we were testing last night.
It is my belief, I think, And I don't know, and this is a question for Tim more than anybody. I know that I've had an LNBits wallet I could connect from an app to my LNBits wallet. Would it technically be possible for me to connect to my LNPay wallet with an app as well? For instance,
something like Zap?
Yeah, Zap, I think. Let me look at it right now. Zap, I have... shit, it's messed up now. Here we go. Yeah, I think this is an Ellen. Well, I thought I had an LNBits wallet somewhere. Maybe I was connecting.
LNPay, you mean?
No, LNBits. That's why LNBits is very similar, a similar structure with a, you know, one node virtual addresses. So I was just wondering if, if we can. I mean, it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful solution. I mean, it's not. You know, it's. You don't have custody of everything you should, but just to get up and started, it's really great if we can set that up. And also for, like I set up Neil Jones, the clip custodian for No Agenda. I think you actually put his node in the value block for No Agenda. And but I set him up on Sphinx. But, you know, which you know, there's easier ways to get someone set up to receive keySend payments if they're, you know, maybe they don't need a whole big node solution. They just want to receive stuff and be able to send it somewhere else or do something with it.
Did that work for him? Is he getting sats?
Yeah. Yeah. He said he already had 250. I think last night he sent me a message. So he said it was, it was working. I love that.
Cool. Yeah.
So, but LNPay, could that also be integrated into podcasterwallet.com?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't see why not. It would just be another integration, just like we do with Voltage and Sphinx.
Okay. Do we need to talk to Tim about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that we got the, now that we have that key in there, we can do it. And it's a key value pair that also Sphinx needed anyway, because they're doing private channels.
They're doing that too. Yeah.
So that thing had to be in there. So that's, it should be good to go now on the index side too.
Ryan Gentry, who loves hearing his name on this show. by the way, thanks for the Twitter love, Ryan. He tweeted your article a lot.
Oh yeah, appreciated that. Yeah.
Yeah. He is getting me in touch with the Umbral guys.
I don't know anything. That's like basically a competitor to Raspi Blitz, right?
It's he says, do you want to chat with the Umbral guys? I know you're on the Raspi Blitz, but they're shooting for a bit more noob-friendly version, maybe more palatable for the broader podcaster ecosystem. And I was like, of course, we want everybody in. I want every single node-type provider on podcasterwallet.com. It'd be great if we can show benefits, whatever. I know that maybe we should probably talk about this since we're in that realm. Breeze has put together a little mini JSON thing that they're going to send along with every key send for statistics.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that.
You didn't get the email?
I did.
Nah, you didn't read the email, man. You're on drugs. Hold on.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. No. That's interesting. Because I think it's probably something we should let everybody know about. Let me just see where I have.
I guess I just totally missed that.
No, that's okay. Here it is. I think I've got it. Wait, not this one.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday were like a blur.
Yeah, I know. Geez, I'm not quite sure where this was now. I'll have to go. Wait, maybe.
Is that in his last response to us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just see, Roy.
Here it is.
So this is something they're implementing this send custom podcast related metadata on each payment that looks like this for analytics. And there's, and I recognize the JSON brackets, so I know what's going on here. The tags are podcast title, episode title, action with a option between stream or boost, and then action time.
Neat.
And that he is setting up with, I think Voltage. So that they can provide a little dashboard where you have some stats.
How cool is that, man?
And so I'm looking at that. I'm saying, well, we need to expand that. there's more stuff in there. I mean, I would love to be able to add my name or my alias. This payment's from Adam.
Yeah.
You know? And stuff like that. Little message, whatever. And by the way, none of that is free. You know, eventually you get these sizes big and more routing comes through. There's all kinds of interesting things that take place. But I love it. This to me makes so much sense. You know, immediately you're giving people some statistics and a way to look at what's going on.
That solves the problem of not knowing who it comes from too. You know, if you can add that data.
If you can add it in, yeah. Take a look at that email again.
Here's what I would love. Okay, here's what I would love on the boost side. I would love to have on a mobile app, I would love to be able to long press the boost button and have a customizable amount.
Ooh, nice. So you can press and then slide up or down.
Yeah, exactly. Long press, it pops up a dialogue and you can either
so easy. Yep.
I want to give a one-time 10,000 sat
right.
drop boom. On this boom. Thing. Boom.
Yeah,
do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Namespace stuff. Did you see that two things? Captivate added.
Yes. They added, what did they add? Transcripts?
Yeah, transcripts. And that's their first ad. We're going to have them on the show in April.
Yes, I saw that. Nice. Yeah. This is good. Congratulations. And go ahead.
Yeah, and also Blueberry, they've released the beta for their PowerPress plugin.
Ooh.
That has all the tags in it.
All of them?
I think it's got the first phase. I don't remember. Let me see if I can look and
man, find I just got to get the WordPress thing and just bake my own feed. I mean, I'm getting frustrated.
Well, let's see. Let me look up. Here's Mike's message to me. It says they got locked transcript chapters funding location to start with is what he said. He said more coming.
Nice.
Locked transcript chapters funding and location.
Which brings us to certification.
Yes, you will be audited.
This is so hilarious. When I say give people a badge, you know, for certification, you're podcasting 2.0 certified. To me, that's like the top 5% of the internet. If you remember that back in the late 90s,
that's the original version of the name Alexa, right?
Is that how it started? It could be, yeah.
The Alexa top 100 or whatever.
Well, there was first a guy. Who had this top 5% of the internet, and he would send people emails, and of course he said, paste this code on your website, which was a link back to his website.
Yeah.
That was the genius part of it. And I got calls from Reebok, from the chief marketing officer. Whoa, we got an email. We're top 5% on the internet. I'm like, no, that's fantastic. We need to put that badge on there right away. So the whole idea is a badge that just links back to us. To me, if you're on the newpodcastapps.com or the podcastindex.org/apps page, you're 2.0 certified.
Yeah, I certified you personally.
Yes, that's what it is. You're on that list. You're certified. We just need to have... really, maybe that page needs to. Ooh, I don't know. We got to work on the communication. I know Eric is thinking about different paths for people to take when they get to podcastindex.org.
Yeah,
we do need a listener side, a developer side, a podcaster side. But that's really it. And we're not going to go certify people. We're not going to verify it. Hey, does your shit work in my app? Oh, congratulations. Hey, does your app work with this shit? Congratulations.
Is that the white paper you just laid out?
Yes. Does your shit work here? Does any little piece of this shit work? You got just the lock tag? Congratulations. You're in.
Certified badge.
Yeah, of course. Small batch. Yeah. So that's the certification.
I do like the idea of writing up a sort of a guidance thing where it's like, cause there are issues here. Like Horowitz's feed. I mean, they're a disaster.
Right. Yeah. What exactly is the problem with his feed? What's going on? That's a course thing.
It's HTTPS. So the feed was being served over HTTPS, but the enclosures weren't and stuff like that. Oh,
then you get a course. Yeah. That's when you get a course thing.
You get the mixed content warning and all that jazz. So like there needs to be a guidance document that says, okay, do you want to be podcasting 2.0? You got to put the namespace in there, but then you also have to, you know, or not have to, but we also highly encourage you to review your feed and make sure that this stuff works because part of podcasting 2.0 is that web podcast players are important and the PWA guys cannot function properly if your feed has mixed content problems or cores issues and all that kind of stuff. You got to fix all that stuff. So I think podcasting 2.0, we should link the badge back to a page that says,
yes, I agree.
These things, namespace, cores, HTTPS, blah, 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 blah,
yeah. And I like that explanation because PWA's web apps are critical to podcasting 2.0, which brings me to our next little tidbit to hit, which may or may not be namespace related. Audiobooks.
Oh, I have Audible on my list here.
Yes, that's brilliant minds. Was that a link that I shared with you earlier this week with the in our group there about how Audible is completely boning independent
Yeah.
Publishers of books.
Was it StarDoc or something?
Yeah. Hold on a second. I have it here. Let me see.
Remember the name. Something Doc.
Hold on a second. I think I
Space have Doc. It. Space Doc.
Here it is. Let's see. Yeah, Space Doc. Listen, he's a real good voice.
Hey everyone, Daniel from Space Doc here. In a rather different video from usual today, I'm here to talk to you all about the experiences we've had with Amazon Audible whilst trying to distribute our science fiction audio drama, The Sojourn, and what we've learned about how that company treats creators. In July of 2020, we submitted the first volume of The Sojourn to various platforms, including Audible. We did so 3 weeks in advance of The Sojourn's planned launch date, as we were told that would be enough time for the files to be approved and processed. Google Books and various other platforms managed to get the volume ready to distribute in a couple of days, but as I'm sure many of you have noticed, it took Audible a frankly ludicrous 4.5 months to get the volume up on their store.
Jesus!
Yeah, and then he does the numbers, and he says, oh, by the way, you really only are winding up with 18% of the revenue if you really look at how they calculate and do everything. And they're stealing. And they're assholes. And 4 months is ridiculous. This is all that needs to happen. Because we'll do whatever, and I'm speaking on your behalf, dev named Dave.
Please
we'll,
do.
We'll create the endpoint, whatever you need. But you just need a new interface that says audiobook. And we need people to publish their audiobooks in chapters with streaming value for value. I guarantee you, you will make more money than you will on Amazon. That's an easy guarantee for me. And it can function under podcasting. It'll work perfectly in a podcast app. But if you make an interface that says audiobooks, value for value, I think it will work.
I think it's even easy. It goes deeper than even that. So what I had jotted down on here when I watched that video, I watched that video that you sent, and then the next day on the way to the office, I was listening to, I can't remember what audiobook it was. But anyway, I was listening to an audiobook on Audible. And I was noticing that it just said chapter one, chapter two, chapter. Oh, it was the yearling. Okay. So I was listening to the yearling, the old book from Marjorie Kennan Rawlings.
Mm-hmm.
And so each chapter, it's kind of weird because I'm bouncing back and forth between the audiobook and the printed book because I'm sort of reading along with my daughter who's 10. And the printed book, the chapters, have titles, and then on the Audible audiobook, they're just chapter numbers. It just says chapter one, chapter two.
Oh my god,
three.
They haven't even figured chapters out yet.
They don't even have chapter titles.
Oh my goodness.
And this Audible app has been around for freaking
a long
10 years.
Time. Yeah, it's worse than podcasting.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, this is not, and so this made me think about. This made me think about Spotify and all the stuff that they were, you know, doing on their thing last week and all the stuff they were touting. And I started thinking, you know, like we are so far ahead of that entire game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you want to put, you can publish your audiobook in a podcasting 2.0 namespace.
Certified
feed. And you get all this stuff. You could get, imagine the experience of going into a podcasting 2.0 app to listen to The Yearling. Okay. The original book, The Yearling from, was it from the 30s or it's from the early 50s. The original, version of that book had chapter titles, had chapter art. I don't know who did it. No, I'm sorry. It was from the 30s. I don't know who did
38.
38. Okay. I don't know who did the art, but it had art in it. So imagine you're going into a podcasting 2.0 app, Podfriend, Podcast Addict, Podstation, you know, Hypercatcher, any of these apps, and you start listening to the audiobook of The Yearling, and it's got chapter titles, it's got the chapter art in it.
You could
transcripts.
You can teach your children to read along with the transcript.
Yeah, because that book, the full text is available in on Gutenberg Press. Mm-hmm. You could have a stellar audiobook experience today.
Yep. And
as a podcast and get paid.
Yes. And I think that in this case, you'd have a little algorithm like suggested price for this book.
Yeah.
You know, this book, you know, what do you think? What is it worth to you? Well, most books, you know, I'd be like, $5 just to make it easy. And as I'm going along, maybe something says it's still $5. And this is really good. Increase it a bit.
I finished The Yearling and I cried like a 2-year-old child because it's like one of the saddest books ever.
Yeah, it's not really uplifting.
No, it's not. I would have boosted the hell out of that book if I had a boost button because it was just a fantastic book. And you could have, and think about LibriVox. You know, everybody's knock on LibriVox is that the narrators are not good quality.
Right.
Now they're spending their time. Their valuable time to do this as a service to humanity. Mm-hmm. But imagine the increase in quality that you would get if they knew they could get paid for it and it became a market.
Exactly. And it's ready to go. And I've learned all it really takes is some example of content. This is the main thing that everyone's been missing for a decade. If you just back and forth, I mean, you need someone to say, okay, fuck it, I'll support that, you know? What was a real tipping point for us? A Buzzsprout transcript.
Yeah.
And they had it already, you know, so that was just pulling the pieces together and someone said, okay, shit. Yeah. And I'll make an app that works with that. And then more people made content and that's how it works. This is why I've discussed with Max Kaiser and Stacy. Really, I should say I discussed with Stacy because you don't discuss with Max, you know, you just sit back and enjoy Max. She's been putting together this dynamite documentary, 10-episode series of the Orange Pill. It's called To the Moon. And it's their history, all the people they interviewed about Bitcoin starting in 2010, 2011, when they first got into it. And, you know, they have been around the world, have interviewed thousands of people probably at this point. And she's edited this into a real fast-paced dynamite documentary. 2 episodes are out. Now, I caught them and I listened to them on the Sphinx chat, and it really translated well to audio. And so I said, Stacy, when you're done with these, let's make a separate feed, just a static feed, 10 episodes. I'm sure I can get Tom to throw that on there because they use Buzzsprout, just a separate, you know, 10-episode feed that has a value block in it. And we're going to make it available in audio and video.
Nice.
And what a phenomenal piece of content to experiment with value for value with video as well. All our apps can do it.
Does Sphinx have video? I don't think they do video.
That's a good point. I don't think that they may not. Well, and also I'm sure PodStation doesn't play it, but most apps will play video.
I bet you Guillermo could put video in there. You could do that fairly easily.
What I'm thinking is instead of, it's video podcasting, why not? Here's your documentary app. Yeah. Boom. There's a new documentary. Here's the first one. Here's the cool thing about it. It's free, but it's value for value. So you can boost in the documentary. This is great. Just stream some sats while you're watching it and make an app called, it's just another skin, documentaries, value for value documentaries.
If you want to see real stagnation and lack of innovation looks like, go look at Audible's app, go look at Spotify's app. If that's what you want,
your work of art consumed,
yeah, then all you got to do is allow Spotify or Amazon or any of these guys to get 50-60% market share.
Yeah.
And you'll see all innovation come to a screeching halt. Yeah. And that's how that works. I mean, look, like I said, look at the quality of experience that you can have in a podcasting 2.0 compliant thing today.
Yeah.
And it already, it's not, This is what's been bugging me. This is what bugged me all throughout the Spotify stuff last week. This is not us trying to catch up to them. We are so far ahead of them already.
miles ahead. We've got mugs. We got mugs. That's all I know. We got mugs, baby. When you got time for mugs, you're ahead of the game.
We're like a cougar at happy hour. You can't stop us.
That's happy hour.
That is beginning to bother me is that this is not a keeping pace thing. We're already way out in front here.
Yeah.
And we're not even to alternate enclosure yet. That's coming.
Alternate enclosure is coming, and that's when we're going to figure out IPFS.
Yeah.
Because that's just going to be a switch, and all you got to do is switch to IPFS, and you're going to get it from a PIN server or wherever else on the network. It's going to be mm-hmm. amazing.
And that thing that James has been talking about, like in his mind, that he has this idea that of flipping back and forth between video and audio streams, like all that stuff works. Yeah. We're going to make all that stuff happen.
Yeah,
because this community of people that are contributing to the namespace now, that's a good group, man.
They're vigilantes, boy.
Heck,
they're vigilante, the cowboys.
Yeah, we can do it.
Mm-hmm. It'd be good to have a cowgirl.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
I mean, it is what it is. I find our group to be incredibly diverse, but it is kind of a lot of men.
Yeah,
that's what it is. I mean, I know we've got female counterparts who contribute, but I don't think necessarily in development that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I think in general the percentage of developers out there that are female is low anyway. Yeah. So it's probably just a
I've employed a few good ones though, I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, there's lots of good ones. There's just not enough of them.
Yeah.
But I think my 10-year-old could be a I say my daughter, man, I got two girls, but my youngest daughter, I think she can I think she'd be a good developer.
Oh, really?
She's got that
headspace, huh? Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very
yeah.
nice.
It's funny how you see it early. You can tell when people are just going to be infatuated with that kind of stuff for the rest of their life.
Also, when you talk about being miles ahead, and you know, it's only so much time in the day, but I try to go past Podverse and Pod Guru and Podcast Addict and Antenna Pod, and you know, I try to keep up with everything, and everyone's integrating. I see announcements all the time. Oh, we've added this. Oh, we've added that.
Jason at Podcast Guru, they added some stuff recently too. He did a pull request on him. He's on the apps page for some new, I forgot what tag he put in. Was it person? I can't remember.
And it's so interesting, the different takes on integration. You know, that's really where art comes down to it. You know, because Podverse is completely different than mm-hmm. anything else out there, the way where chapters are, how they're located. And I will say that one other thing about Podverse, which I love, it has internet. Is that Podverse? Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong one now. Who has the radio station in it?
The radio station?
Yeah, hold on. Someone has radio, a whole, just it says radio, and you got a whole radio app. No, that's Podcast Addict, I think. Let me see.
I don't know. I don't have an Android phone, so I can't do Podcast Addict.
That's what Podcast Addict has. There we go. Radio stations. And it's better than TuneIn.
Yeah.
All I wanted was C-SPAN.
Where's he getting that stream from?
I don't know. He's tapping into some database.
See, because that's what we could do. That with alternate enclosure, we're going to have to... One of the biggest challenges, I think, with that tag is going to be figuring out the live component, because you need the ability to tap into an Icecast server.
Yes, and boost and stream that too
during live. Yeah,
yep. That's going to be a big jump, big feature. And I just hope that we're going to figure out some of these cross community things. You know, we had a nice chat with Brian of London.
We did.
Who explained his development? He showed his development and showed us what Hive can do. And there's some very interesting, well, first of all, he has a lot of knowledge how you manage assets on a blockchain. It was very enlightening to me, certainly when it comes to how do you get stuff out there that everybody can tap into and use, and what are the upsides and the downsides. And one of the downsides is it's up there. There's no delete button, you know, stuff like that. It was very interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem.
Yeah, well, it's stuff you got to think about, obviously. Mm-hmm. Analogous to the history of podcasting, around 2008, we were the darlings of the tech media, and we had the Odeo was going to be the hottest new podcast platform, and then everything changed. Then Odeo became Twitter, and Facebook went open, and YouTube was bought. And podcasting got pushed to the bottom of the news stack for several years until the serial, a right combination of factors of people being tired of binging and wanting an audio in general, brought it all screaming back. This entire project we're doing is so, it's like the simulation rebooted. The same type of things are taking place, the same synchronicity, if you will. Like, click, oh, this is good. Something else happened. That person just showed up. Oh, my God, look what these guys are doing. The open source nature of it, all of that with much better tools. So the timeline has accelerated. Things are happening what would take several years happens in 2 months. And I believe that we're right now on the cusp of a temporary amount of time that will be that will cloud podcasting and subsequently podcasting 2.0 with NFTs and Clubhouse type things.
A mini ice age.
A mini ice age in the timeline of podcasting 2.0, which is great because it's not going to last years. I mean, Clubhouse is imploding faster than even I thought it would. I had no idea. Oh my God, it's already blowing up. So that's done. That's over. We'll have some Me Toos. They're on deck, obviously. Twitter is going to do spaces and basically Clubhouse for Twitter. So everyone's going to be running around. That's what all the press will be focused on. Now, the good news is this also doesn't help Spotify or Apple or anybody else, but we're the ones doing the open innovation and sliding in under the radar because we also have this little magical Bitcoin thing that keeps a lot of people focused on what we're doing. So to me, this is a great opportunity to shore stuff up, get stuff deployed, get it out, get into our next phase of the namespace because people are going to be looking for shit when it's done. And it will end. This will end, and then it'll probably be a piece of content. Who knows what it will be? Someone's going to show up with something, and it's going to incorporate all these pieces, and it's going to blow up. That's a good point. That's if the simulation plays out the way it did the first time. And so far, I think I've mentioned this several times to you privately.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, man, this is just like the first time. And maybe, maybe when you do podcasting 2.0, you kind of set the universe up for it.
Yeah, no, I can see it going that way. You have the mini ice age, and then you have somebody brings all the elements together into a killer product. Like, not product, but into a piece of killer content.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody releases, like, an awesome, you know, documentary that has all the different, it's got the chapter art, it's got the transcripts, it's got the, you can send them money. They take all, and you can flip back and forth between audio and video when you're on the road automatically. It's an app, you know, the app can tell when you're driving, so it turns the video off and flips to audio only. But like all of these different pieces come together, and it's got location, so it's showing you on an interactive map all the different places that whatever this documentary is talking about.
My God, will it massage my scrotum as well?
that comes from extra boost. That's an extra boost.
Whoa!
You have that piece of content that happens, and then it's all of a sudden it's like
it's going to blow up. Yeah, it's going to blow up. It's going to blow up, and we'll be pretty far along. I think weeks, maybe a couple months, but. We just have I just know how media works. I've been in it all my life. This is what it is. NFTs all the way, which is really kind of
God.
It's kind of NFTs. Funny. You know? It's like the opposite of the whole idea of cryptocurrencies. It's like, let's that get something. Let's get something that you can't trade, except.
Yeah.
You can't change it into anything else. It has to be in this realm on this trading platform. You can't exchange it for anything.
It's a Beanie Baby, but you can't put them on the.
Exactly. It's the Beanie Baby of crypto. It's exactly what it is. I thought Bitcoin was Beanie Babies. No. NFTs are the Beanie Babies of crypto.
Do you remember driving through town and there would be people on the side of the road that had their car parked and they would have like 300 Beanie Babies on the hood?
Oh, yeah.
And you could go and like, you know, bomb right off the hood of somebody's car. That's what this is.
I tried. What was that guy's name? I tried to buy him when I had my public company. The guy who had the original Beanie Babies trading thing.
Dude, I don't know.
And I saw that coming a mile away, and he said, "Dude, you can't bring me enough money." There are a couple things I tried. I tried to buy the CD database.
Oh, the CDDB?
Yeah. They just sold it. Just sold it like 2 months before I got a hold of them.
Whatever happened to that? Is it still functional?
I you know what? It's probably a godsend because it probably didn't make any money for whoever got it. I don't know. I think it got. Geez, didn't it get bought up by Winamp or something?
Maybe. I remember WinLame. Do you remember WinLame or Lame, the Lame MP3 encoder?
Of course. Lame. Of course.
Yeah. So there was a version of it called WinLame, and it was always getting DMCA takedown everywhere because it used the Fraunhofer and codec and all that jazz. But WinLame had a CD ripper in it. It was all automated. And so then you would, in one of the options was you could put a check mark into when I put a CD in to rip it, pull all the information from the CDDB. And it would just like automatically name all the tracks and all that stuff.
Right.
And I always kept thinking, like, how are these guys making any money? Like, this doesn't make any sense. But, you know, the answer was they weren't, you know.
So they tried to get bought by Microsoft. So the guys who bought it, who did they sell it to? To a high-tech consumer electronics manufacturer, Essient, and that was in 1998. And that's when I tried to buy them. And it turns out that Essient, all they wanted to do was turn around. Actually, they wanted to do a little legal extortion. They wanted to flip it off to and sell it to Microsoft.
Okay, I got you.
So yeah, they wanted to flip it. That didn't work out. Then they renamed it Gracenote. And this I know because Gracenote shows up in my car. It shows up everywhere.
Oh, I didn't realize that it became Gracenote.
Yeah, they rebranded it and became Gracenote. And then Sony in 2008 fully acquired Gracenote.
Okay.
And they resold it to Nielsen in 2016. It's a whore. CDDB is sloppy fifths. It's not even seconds anymore. I'm glad I didn't tap that.
Yeah. It's the VD of the venereal disease. Of
CDVD. Hey, should we thank a few people for this? Since we've been talking about value for value, which is exactly... Yeah, sure. What this show is, what this project is, what the podcast index is. If you get any benefit from any value that you derive, please consider returning that. It seems to be a real good karmic experience. And whatever you decide to support us with, and we'll take any of the trifecta, time, talent, treasure, a lot of people spending time and talent, treasure-wise, whatever it is, make it meaningful to you. That's what value is, when it's meaningful to you, because it's not about us necessarily being able to pay the bills, which we can do. We're doing okay. It's about the feeling you get from it. And by the way, when I see those PayPal emails come in, I always feel good.
Yeah.
And I always look. Good. Who's this? Okay. $10, $5. A new recurring. Oh, this is great. It works. It works, and it's part of the foundation. And it's a great way for price discovery for creative works in a fair and decentralized way. I was going to say that I just got an email that Voltage is adding BitPay to their services, so I will set up a proper Bitcoin and Lightning QR code, etc. experience for us to integrate into the homepage of podcastindex.org.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, so it's easier for people to send us. Just the other thing we used was, I think, still something that came from Sphinx Chat.
Oh, yeah, the embed thing.
Yeah. So, which is fine, but I think it was time to upgrade. So what came in as cuckbucks?
Well, we got a good group. Our bill this month, our hosting bill, is higher than normal because it's usually around 300, but now it's going to be 380 this month.
Oh, what did we do?
Well, it's from that the database migration. We had to. So I, instead of, you know, what I did was I spun up a new server. That's our biggest VM, so our costliest server. So I spun up a new server and then migrated the data from the old one to the new one. So I left it running for a few weeks.
I don't I don't see any mention of this in your TPS report.
You didn't. You don't remember my my rampant bitching about about the stupid database migration.
Yeah, I think I heard some of that. Yeah,
that was annoying.
That must have taken days.
It was one of those things where it got all the way done and then it didn't
fail.
And then it got all the way done again and it failed again.
That's like trying to restore your Microsoft Windows 10 on a laptop. From a backup. You know, it's like, it's all the way. Oh, sorry. You got to start over.
Come to find out, restoring a 47 gig database is not a quick process.
It's a lot of data. Yeah. It's a lot of data.
But John Sponheimer, he is helping us to cover that. He sent us $41.
Wow. Thank you.
He says, I'm a loyal listener who absolutely loves your work and just listening into the discussions. Distributed work like this needs to be kept alive. Please take the remnants of my PayPal account. You deserve it.
Yes. Thank you. Perfect. Empty out the wallet. Love it. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you, John. Dame Jennifer Buchanan.
Oh, man, she does so much. She doesn't have to do, well, she's doing more than just time and talent. She's doing the treasure. Okay.
$33.33. She says, in the morning, y'all, I'm loving listening to your progress on PC 2.0. Even though it has zero relevance to me right now, I'm not a podcaster, a coder, or a Bitcoiner, but my brain has a tickle from it. Someday I will figure out why. Oh, but I will admit, I have a thing for hot namespace talk.
We know why you're here, Jennifer. We know why you're here. You just like the hot namespace talk.
Hugs and kisses, Dame Jennifer.
Aw, thank you, Dame Jennifer. So sweet.
Thank you. Let's see here. Oh, okay. I have to get my oxygen tank for this.
Long note?
Yeah.
Let me guess. It is. Is this from the Show Business Show, guys?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Simon Aronowitz, I hope I'm saying your name right. I think I am. From Super Serial Marketing. They sent us $20 and he says the note, he says, hey guys, note read coming. It's shorter this time.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. He said, in the morning, Adam and Dave, I've tried to make this week's note from Get Super Serial shorter than last week's. You'll be happy to know I didn't do a word count in case I failed. By the time you, Dave, you have permission to disclose what I write here and double check with the other party. By the time you good gents get to reading out this note, the second episode of the business of the Show Business Show should be available as a podcast and as an online TV show. Mm. All links can be found at www.showbusiness.show. Our guest this week was Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.
Oh.
And very appropriately, we played a clip from Sunday's No Agenda 1325. Adam, the time code for the episode is 2:21 and 17 seconds. Think of this combination. I just listened to No Agenda and Adam's gripe about Rode not giving him Rodecaster Pro. Then, knowing that we had Dave Jackson booked for an interview, I was reading his book, Profit from Your Podcast, as research. Adam, he dedicated the book to you and Dave Weiner.
Really?
Yeah. Then I read in the book that Dave scored a free Rodecaster Pro. What? So we asked Dave what he did differently. It's worth a listen. The timing was perfect. Again, time code.
Well, I didn't ask for anything.
You had somebody ask for it on your behalf.
No, someone who's a dealer, a road dealer, I think in Australia, that's where they are, had sent the clip of me saying, man, I could fix this. It's almost good. And he sent it to the marketing department and got we're not going to pursue this. We're doing other things now. It's like,
yeah, they gave you the middle finger.
Pretty much.
If any podcasting 2.0 listeners want to know about profiting from their podcast, this second episode of the Show Business Show with Dave Jackson is another great episode to understand what's going on right now and where things are headed. Dave said, somewhat tongue in cheek, that if you want to make money in podcasting, go into editing. To wrap this shorter note up, number one, podcast production is hell. That's why I said that this episode should be available by the time you read this. It's not hell for this podcast. There is no post-production for this podcast.
Right. We go live, baby.
Yeah. Number two, Adam, we have some thoughts about streaming value for value, both with regard to one show we're producing for a client and also more widely for the whole ecosystem. So we want to have you as a guest on an upcoming episode of the Show Business Show. Yes, we are video first, and I know you don't like that, but get this. Billy, my business partner, also has Tourette's and knows that if you know...
Dude, we could tick off each other. It'd be hilarious.
It cracks me up that that's the end. That's their pitch.
That's their pitch to me. Dude, we got it. One of us has Tourette's. Join us.
We got one of you people too.
Yeah. You're one of us. You're family. That's brazen, man. I like it. I appreciate it that.
Bold. Very bold. Billy, my business partner, also has Tourette's and knows that if you know what to look for, you can notice his tics on camera. Dave, I checked with Billy and he gave me full permission to share this. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But here's the problem. Are they 2.0 certified?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. They need to be audited.
Well, I'm trying to find, maybe it's all one word, show business?
It's show business show. You know, I had trouble finding an index too, and I ended up having to combine two words together, I think.
I have show business as one word. No, I do show business as one word, and I get two results. Michi Bock and Manu Stein. That's the podcast von und mit Michi Bock.
For some reason, I'm thinking that's not it.
That's not the one. So that's weird.
Well, I found them the other day, but I did have to search a couple times. Let's see. Show business.
With a very reasonable cost.
Sorry about that. That's my pod friend blowing up.
No, that is She Means Business show. That's not it either.
See, if I do show space business, I get nothing. No results. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, we got to figure this out.
What's his name?
Simon. Simon Aronowitz. And it's showbusiness.show. And it's Super Serial Marketing is the...
Ooh, maybe you have to do Super Serial.
Maybe so.
No. Well, that's not it either. What kind of index are you running, Dave Jones?
That's a piece of crap.
We got to figure out what's going on with that.
Somebody file a bug report.
Well, so to answer his question, of course, I'm flattered. I'd love to be on your show. I think a Tourette's off would be hilarious, a tick off. that said, you do have to wait because I've promised many other people, mainly Grimerica. But also, I'd like to do Max and Stacy again when we're ready to launch some stuff. So, sure, in the future, definitely. Got a lot of requests.
Adam, we understand where you're coming from. We'd love to have you as a guest. Let's see, it's video. We'd love to have you as the guest. The video thing didn't put you off. One, you did Rogan, and two, we can work around it if you have to. Three, a big thank you to listeners of Podcasting 2.0. who listened to our first episode. We were pleasantly surprised by the stats.
Oh.
Have a great weekend, everyone, from the guys at www.showbusiness.show, Simon Aronowitz and Billy Fansler. Thanks, guys.
Nice. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Yeah, thanks,
very
guys.
Cool.
Let's see here.
Ah, the Show Business Show. How about that? Will that work?
Did that work?
I don't know. I'm just looking at their website right now.
The Show Business Show. I'm still not finding it.
They're doing hyphens.
Now, I found it. I swear I found it the other day.
Yeah, but this can't be this hard. The Dash Show Business. I want to see it, man.
The Business Show. That's not it.
No.
No. Show Business.
That's really
no matter how I combine this stuff, no, it's not working.
I can't get it either. No, we'll have to figure that one out.
It's too many. It's too many generic words. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. this is a $10 donation from Sterling Ellsworth, and Sterling just says his whole message is everything Adam does is super awesome.
And how much did I pay him to do that?
No. It's a wash. That's it.
Thank you very much. Oh,
that's our group.
Well, good group. We really appreciate it. Value for value. It's definitely the way forward. Price discovery of creative stuff. Everything creative. Code is creative. Extremely creative. Podcasting is creative. It's all creative. And it's hard to show hard costs. So,
yeah.
You know, well, although you just did $380 a month. Well, it's still very, very reasonable.
$380 a month. Yeah. Our expenses are basically the hosting costs, which are roughly $300 to $350 a month.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of our email accounts, which is about $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have?
Well, we've been doing some legal stuff.
Oh, you have to get terms of service and all that. Yep. Yes. So we don't all go to jail.
Yeah. Or at least Eric doesn't go to jail. You and I, we're clear, man. We're not going to jail. We're sending Eric. He's the proxy. Send that guy to jail. We had nothing to do with it.
he would hold up better there anyway than you.
Yes.
We're too sensitive.
Oh, my goodness.
That's pretty much it, I think. And I'm sorry. We've got our Cloudflare. That's $20 a month. So, I mean, we're running somewhere south of $400 a month.
That's
usually
so good, man. That's unbelievably cool. Hey, and now you also have the whole database dump on IPFS.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I can't believe I forgot to talk about that. That was fun. That was a fun project. So it's it is really good that we have lots of bandwidth headroom, because that's going to chew up some bandwidth, clearly. But we have, so what it's doing every night at midnight is it takes a dump of the database and it's just the feeds table. So all the feeds get dumped into a temporary file, and then they get imported as a CSV, and then they get imported into a SQLite database.
Oh.
And then
snazzy.
And then with a schema, with the table schema and all that stuff, gets imported into a SQLite database, and then it gets tarred and gzipped and then published to IPFS, added to IPFS, and then published under an IPNS static name.
Ooh, slick.
Yeah. So it's all IPNS, IPFS.
Now, are people getting this through IPFS or just through our gateway?
Everybody seems to be getting it through IPFS, because that's the only way it's available. I mean, there's no HTTP download of this thing. IPFS.
And we're not providing a gateway.
No, we're using Cloudflare's IPFS gateway.
Ah, okay. Excellent. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that costing us?
Nothing. Well, I mean, it costs us
a little bit.
$5 for a server. Yeah. $5 a month for a server.
This is so the future.
Yeah, I think so.
IPFS is such an exciting idea to me.
It is to me too. The only thing is, it just needs better DNS integration. You know, there needs to be friendlier names for these things.
Mm.
You know, you just can't tell somebody go to /IPFS/ right. blah, blah, blah.
But for under the hood stuff, just for an alternative enclosure, IPFS, click, whew, suck it down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally.
That's bitching.
Because this is part of the master plan here. Because the master plan is, at least in my mind, is put this database. Now that we have the IPNS, the IPNS addresses the folder.
Yeah.
So this is a static address to the folder. Right. So then now we have basically a static IPNS mapping to this folder. So what I plan to do is break the database up into small chunks so that there's like maybe every 10,000 feeds is a separate chunk.
Oh, handy.
And then what we can do is start working on the distributed polling client.
Oh, to have it come from all different places.
To have every, so that anybody who wants to run a polling agent can download the agent onto a server or the desktop or whatever. And in the background, it will go out, grab a chunk of the database, bring it down, and begin to slowly poll the feeds in their chunk, and then let us know if an update has happened to that feed.
And sexy.
Distributed aggregation. So,
I thought hot namespace talk was everything, but when you get the sexy SQLite, baby.
Distributed aggregation.
God.
hit the sexy boost or whatever that is.
I don't have a sexy boost.
I'm happy with that. I think this is the first step.
Very
of that,
exciting.
Of
very
that
exciting.
Journey.
So just from a general focus, my takeaway from this board meeting, since we're very bad at doing minutes, who's doing minutes? We have a period of several weeks, maybe a couple months, where we're going to have a lot of noise about other stuff in the marketplace. I already see it, especially NFTs and Clubhouse type stuff. I'd love to get a couple more implementations of Lightning and really get as much integration with phase one and phase two of the namespace. So we have that solid, you know? And then when people are ready, we're already on to three. And gee, in the meantime, audiobooks, all this type of stuff. And then and I think once this is kind of up and running and we have podcasters can point their listeners to apps that are intuitive and understandable, or they can say to their app developer, hey, these guys have it. Can you integrate it? Which is where hopefully LNPay comes in as a solution. Then we go from there. We go, full, in my mind, full speed ahead to alternate enclosure with IPFS high on the agenda.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's that. I approve these minutes.
I second them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. All right, everybody. Where are we having drinks?
Where are you? Who's getting box lunches?
Hey, man, it's so good to catch up with you. I love having guests on the show, but it's also nice for you and me to just catch up. And so just so people know, this is literally our catch up.
It is.
Do we talk any differently when we're just talking privately on the phone?
Nope, it's exactly like this. This is a phone call.
Yeah. Yeah, we just air our grievances about other people. We just don't do that here.
Yeah.
That guy's such a dick.
The Podfriend mug, I just want to say that thing is perfect size to fit one entire can of beer.
That's not what they drink up in Martin's neck of the woods. They drink something that looks like urine, but he says it's lemonade. You saw it. You saw it. What was that glass? I'm like, is that beer? What are you drinking, man?
I don't know what the name of that name was. It's like Kafefi or something like that.
Yeah, he eats that with brown cheese, which, by the way, that brown cheese is dynamite. I think that's from Finland.
Brown cheese.
That's probably a big mistake to confuse those countries with stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're a douche now.
Yeah. Oh, well. Let me defragment. You've been defragmented. All right, Dave. Have a great weekend. And, next week we go full bore into whatever comes our way.
Yep. It's something new every week.
And we look forward to seeing you back here at the board meeting next Friday for Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. See you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.